It's 3:35 on a Wednesday afternoon on the mighty 790 KFGO, and that means that it is time to talk with our friend Dick Bramer from the Minnesota Twins. He is the play-by-play man for the Twins broadcast on Fox Sports North. And Mr. Bramer, it's bittersweet talking to you today. I'm happy to talk with you today, but I think next week we won't be chatting because the Twins season will be over with. So it's
bittersweet. It's kind of a bittersweet time for me, too, even in a losing season. I'm always sad to have the season end, as it will on Sunday. And I guess for better or worse, I think it's going to be one of the more news-making off-seasons for the Twins here. We'll hope it's all for the good.
You're right. It's, you know, it's all about the off-season now for the Twins. And the question with them now is what are they going to do? How much money are they going to spend? Where are they going to spend their money? From an observer standpoint, from a fan standpoint, I sure hope that they can find a couple of starting pitchers, Dick, to throw out there, give some money to, and just get some stability on the mound for 2014.
Well, that's clearly the number one need, but the sad thing is, Mike, there are other needs that will need to be addressed, too. I just spent a few minutes, about a half hour ago, talking with Mike Pelfrey, who started the ball game the other night and gave the Twins a really good chance to win against the Tigers. He didn't get the win, but it was a good start. He'd like to come back, and I think a lot of the current Twins would like to come back, but the focus is not who wants to come back, but who's better served move this organization forward in terms of starting pitching. You can't come back with everybody and expect the results to be much different. That's why I think the Twins will be more active in the free agent market. I won't say the trade market, because they were pretty active in that last year, trading Revere and Span, but I do anticipate the Twins being more active in the free agent market than they've been in other years.
If you had to put 50 cents down on it, who on the Twins starting staff this year would be back next year?
Of people we've seen, and we've seen a lot of different people, I put my money on Scott Diamond. I put some money on Kyle Gibson. Kevin Correa is actually, pitched decently for the Twins, and he's under contract for next year, so I'd have to put him in there. But again, this year's proven that you've got to, the Twins are in need of five starters just to have a competitive pitching staff next year. But then beyond that, you need depth in the AAA system, whether it's Samuel Deduno and P.J. Walters and a bunch of people like that. You've got to have people at AAA who are ready to be called up here, unless you roll seven with the dice and you get people who are not only good but really, really durable.
And I admit I'm not nearly as paying attention as much as I probably should to who's going to be available on the free agent market, who's not going to be available. But are there a couple of names out there, Dick, who are going to be done with their contract with their current team, who the Twins might target in the offseason? And whenever you say that, there might be 15 other teams targeting them as well, and there might be price limitations on some, but a couple names you might be able to throw out there for us?
Well, you'd like to have somebody come to the Twins who's had some success as a starting pitcher. We just got done playing the Oakland A's. They've got a couple of guys who are healthy, but they're pitching out of the bullpen because the A's rotation is so deep. Brett Anderson and Tommy Malone. Kansas City has Luke Hochschaver, who bombed as a starter, but his stuff is too good to sit in the bullpen for an inning or two at a time. You might be able to get people like that. And in terms of top-end free agents, I think the Twins might be handicapped in that regard simply because the needs go beyond one or two starting pitchers. They've got some positions they need to fill in, too. So, as I said, I think it's going to be a very active offseason for the Twins, and there's no shortage of work that needs to be done, because I think everyone from the ownership all the way down would tell you that the status quo is no good anymore.
If you have a question or comment for Mr. Bramer, please give us a call, 237-5948 or 800-880-5346. About the best way that people have been contacting Mr. Bramer to get him questions lately has been our texting club. You can send us a text message to 35270. That's 35270. Please include the word Mike so I know it's directed at me, and I'll ask Dick the question just as soon as that text message comes in. Joe Mauer, Dick, was shut down, and it took me 6 minutes to ask about Joe Mauer. Joe Mauer was shut down early this week for the rest of the season. Concussion symptoms from getting hit in the head with the foul balls. Number one, was he shut down because the injury is still bad enough, or was he shut down because the Twins' season is far lost? Second question, maybe the bigger one, is do we need to start worrying about Joe Mauer like we worried about Justin Morneau and Corey Koski?
Well, I'll try to indirectly answer all of that. I think the decision was made just because it made more sense to not ask him to go behind the plate. I chatted with Ryan Domet yesterday, who went through the same thing but came back as a right fielder and a DH, and he said at this point he doesn't want to catch because why would you risk a re-injury? Well, with that in mind, then that raises a larger question as to Joe's future behind the plate, whether he will come back next year. I don't think there's anybody here that's concerned he's not going to come back, but at what position? Is he going to come back as a catcher? Are the Twins going to run the risk of a reoccurrence of this and then losing him for a substantial period of time, or will they bring him back as a first baseman? And then, of course, if they do that, that would take them out of the market, one would think, for Justin Morneau, who's a free agent. So there are a lot of interlocking pieces to all of this, but I don't think anybody was too surprised that Joe was shut down for the season. There's very little plus or upside to getting him back out there this late in the season when you balance that against the downside, which would be aggravating the situation somehow, and then you've got even more serious questions for next year.
Ooh, there are some major questions facing the Twins next year because it makes sense to move Mauer to first base and protect him that way and keep him in the lineup and all those different things. But then Joe Mauer's, one of the best defensive catchers in baseball. He's a rock-solid catcher behind the plate. So then the Twins are weakened in the catching department. And who plays catcher for the Twins then next year, Dick?
Well, that's been one of the intriguing things here in the last couple of weeks, to see Josmil Pinto do as well as he has at the plate and behind it. I thought he did a great job catching Mike Pelfrey the other night in the first game against Detroit. He's hitting in the neighborhood of 350, and at times he looks, as any rookie would, like he's a little overmatched. But if not next year, I think there's a growing sentiment within the organization that the next full-time catcher for the Twins will be Pinto, and he's getting every opportunity to play here in September, and so far he's been pretty impressive.
A text message comes in for you, Dick, and says, can you ask Dick, as a broadcaster, this is a personal question, what his off-season is like? Does he take a small amount of time off right away and then has office work to do until ice fishing season starts, of course?
Most of my off-season activities are outdoors related, whether it's late-season fishing, pheasant hunting, deer hunting, ice fishing. I've got two kids that I like to spend time with, although one is a freshman in college and away from the region right now. He's in Chicago. And we try to make up for the lack of recreational time in the summertime by getting out in the field in the fall and getting out on the lakes and snowshoeing and things like that in the wintertime.
You have promotional duties with the Twins as well. You go on the caravan and do things sure. Like that later on in the season before spring training too. So it's not
I used to do a lot of college basketball, Big Ten and Gopher basketball, but I don't do that anymore, and that's just fine. We get to the end of 150 telecast season or something like that gives me a little time to decompress, but then it won't be long, probably about October 15th. I'll be looking forward to the start of the next baseball season.
Well, with the $20 million a year income you have, Dick, doing the Twins baseball games, you don't really need to supplement with the Gopher basketball.
That's true. I actually, not many people know this, I am actually a minority owner of the Minnesota Twins, which explains why they haven't fired me.
It's just a hobby, a hobby.
Yep.
Cliff in Castleton has a question about Rick Anderson for Dick Bramer. Go ahead, Cliff.
Yeah, Dick. See, I know Gardy and Anderson are attached at the hip, but when does upper management look at Rick Anderson? And all you got to do is look around the majors. Balfour, Neshek, Liriano, Garza, Loesch, Breslow, all the ex-Twins pitchers out there who are doing pretty well. And Rick Anderson always seems to get a pass, but he can't get it. It seems like his personality, if he doesn't get along with the player, they're gone.
All right, Cliff, thank you.
All right. I can tell you that pretty much everyone has been looked at with great scrutiny throughout the baseball season. That's why there is some intrigue here as we're wrapping up the season. I suspect there'll be a lot of clarity to this 1 week from now. But Rick Anderson understands that he's been on the hot seat really for the last couple of years. And I can try to defend Rick, but I know that won't do any good to the fans who want him replaced. But I will tell you that Johan Santana gives him an awful lot of credit for winning two Cy Youngs with the Twins, to the point that when, and not that people need to know this, Santana, when he left the Twins got Rick Anderson a very expensive watch that he would never wear, just as a thank you to all the good work that Anderson did with Santana. You know, all the pitchers that were mentioned are all pitchers that grew in experience and then got better somewhere else. And I'm not sure that that's the pitching coach's responsibility. I think if it were up to Rick Anderson, he would have retained most of the pitchers that were mentioned. And the gentleman is right. There are a lot of pitchers out there who have succeeded, as there are position players who've succeeded after they've left the Twins, but that's more of a general manager's decision than a pitching coach's decision.
Well, and also, I'm not going to, you know, fans are upset, but I'll also defend the Twins and any other team, because it's the nature of the game today that players are transient. They don't stay with the same team for 20 years. If somebody doesn't produce in the first 2 or 3 years in the major leagues, they move on. And the chances of a lot of players becoming successful later is greater now than it ever has been because of the transient nature of professional baseball and professional sports. If you looked at the Cleveland Indians or New York Mets, you could find any number of players who are successful after leaving those franchises as well. So I don't know if it's specific to the Twins. You know, I mean, I think you'd have to look at the numbers broadly to find out if it's a bigger issue with the Twins than other franchises.
And the example I use, Mike, is as recently as 2010, the Twins won a division with 94 wins. Well, look who was on the pitching staff. Somehow the Twins got 17 wins out of Carl Pavano. Francisco Liriano was a shell of himself. Scott Baker, Nick Blackburn, Kevin Slowey. I mean, we're not talking about, you know, Cy Young candidates here. And the Twins somehow got 94 wins from that group. They didn't have a starting pitcher with an ERA of under 3.5. And I think that they, as recently as the 2010 season, they got an awful lot out of what they had to work with, meaning the manager and the pitching coach.
We have all kinds of text messages coming in for you, Dick, so we'll get to those in just a moment, but I need to take a break right now. Time to play Auld Lang Syne, because it is the last couple of minutes that we have with Dick Bramer for the 2013 Minnesota Twins baseball season. We have a couple of text messages in for you, Dick. One of them says, did the contract with Joe Mauer put the Twins in a financial bind, keeping them from signing or purchasing other players?
I don't think Mauer's contract alone did, but I think combination of Justin Morneau's and Joe Mauer's did put a crimp on what else would be able to be spent. In this instance, Mike, you know, you're talking about in the neighborhood of $40 million of an $85 million payroll for two players. You know, it's the Twins fans wonder about paying, you know, whether the Twins, the Pollad family, stepping up to pay for a good baseball talent. They stepped up in each case to do that. And then, you know, obviously Justin's situation was very disappointing in terms of him unable to produce to the level of the contract. In Joe's case, he's had a very good year this year. He's just not going to be able to play through the end of it. So I don't think Joe's contract in and of itself, but I think in combination with Justin's contract, it did kind of crimp what they were able to do in the free agent market. And explained also why Michael Kadire and some others left, because you can't sign everybody.
Well, no, yeah, and that's the secondary impact of those contracts. One more quick text message, Dick, and you've already touched on this, but text message sender says, can I only hope Ron Gardenhire will continue as the manager? There is nobody better in my mind.
Well, I didn't know that my text was going to be selected out of the hopper there, but that's my sentiment exactly. You know, we've talked about this, Mike, where the Twins were lauded for their Twins way when they were winning, when in reality I thought the Twins way was not blowing the whole thing up like Pittsburgh and Kansas City and some other teams did when things weren't going well. So that's my hope, and again, I think that we'll have a lot of clarity a week from now as to what all is going to happen. I guess it would be unrealistic to expect everybody to come back, but I sure hope the manager comes back, because I think particularly during these tough years, he's been the perfect man for the job.
Dick, I want to thank you from both myself and our listeners for coming on KFGO this entire summer, and I think for the past 4 years you've done this. I get nothing but good feedback from our conversations, and looking at the ratings that I get in the afternoons on KFGO, I think the listeners enjoy our chats together. So thank you very much for this year, and I hope that maybe we can figure something out this offseason. You can come on once a month or twice a month or whatever and talk Twins baseball or talk sports or whatever. But I want to say thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, I enjoy it too, Mike. I hope we can continue on here down the road. I know how many great Twins fans are in your listening audience, and it's a pleasure for me to visit with you and the fans once a week during the season.
All right, man. Thank you. We'll maybe see you over the weekend. I'm coming on to a game on Saturday, I think. You bet. Dick Bramer with the Minnesota Twins.